Welcome to Tea for Lunch, a weekly show powered by Arcade.
Each week, we'll serve you the top stories we're following in the world of social media, celebrity, entertainment, and tech in 15 minutes or less. You can catch the show live every Thursday on Instagram at about 12:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or catch the replay on Fridays on all podcast providers and YouTube. And this week, we're your hosts, Mitzi and...
Morgan.
Yes.
And Mitzi is back after several weeks off.
I know. I haven't been on Tea for Lunch in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been too long. I don't like it. I was very sick for like 2 weeks, like 2.5 weeks. So it just feels so good to like be wearing clothes and makeup and be at the office. I was like holed up in our home, and you can tell I'm really, really sick. When I was home and I was like, that's where I need to be. Like, usually if I'm like home all day for a few days, I get so much cabin fever. I'm like, get me out of here. Get me to where the people are. But I was not well.
No.
I had laryngitis and then pink eye in both eyes. So that was...
I didn't tell you this, but when I was a kid, my family, we did like this trip through like BC and Alberta, and we went to the West Edmonton Mall. Ooh. And right before that, we had gone to like a pool in Banff. And so when we got to the West Edmonton Mall, my little brother had gotten pink eye in both eyes and passed it to me.
Oh my gosh.
And then while we were at the West Edmonton Mall, I got strep throat. And I just remember I went on that roller coaster as well and like had hurt my neck. And I remember being a kid, like laying in the bed, like I couldn't see, I couldn't talk, I couldn't like move my head.
Oh my gosh.
And when you were saying this last week, I was like triggered.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's a lot. And I was so afraid that our kids would get it. But thankfully, they didn't. I, like, quarantined myself in the basement.
Well,
and so, it just feels good to, like, be back in the rhythm of things and to be back on Tea for Lunch. It's been a while.
Yeah. And I feel like we've been going through it without you a little bit. So we're happy you're back.
I'm back. Get ready. And I have lots of thoughts and opinions. So it's going to be good. And before we get into it, you've celebrated a huge milestone for your own content.
I did. I hit my first 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, Woo! Which is exciting. It took me like 2 years.
Yeah. But I mean, YouTube is such a grind. The fact that you show up there consistently every week is so impressive.
It's a lot. Yeah. It is really fun. It's like my favorite platform for sure. But I'm shocked at like how slow growth is. And like everyone I talk to, it's like, it is a grind, but then the people that do follow you just get so invested. It's like pretty fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm always back and forth about YouTube, like for myself personally. Like I'm always like, is this the year that I try? But just knowing what a grind it's going to be, I don't know. It's like, do I have the next 5 years to grind?
Yeah. Well, okay. So YouTube now has this like projections. I think it's on your social blade. Maybe you can even look at like what your projections are. And it was like showing me my projections for the next like 5 years or 10 years or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Was it depressing?
Well, it wasn't. It was like saying like you'd be around like 50,000 followers or like 100,000 at like these points. But I was like, wait, that's like 5 years from now.
Wow.
Like, will I still be doing this? And yeah, it's definitely a long game.
Wow.
But I'm curious if it'll have a good resurgence with like brand deals and stuff too. That's kind of like what I'm hoping I'll be in there in time for that to pick back up.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it's been a little slow. So
it's like that enough.
I'm there.
Go subscribe. It's like that analogy of like people who are like digging for gold and they dig, and then they quit right before the gold. Like
I feel like that with like long form content all the time, and especially working like in the podcast space too. I'm always like, you just got to keep going. Like it's almost 80% therapy, like 20% content.
Yeah.
What a grind. Just keep going. You've totally got this.
I know. Yeah. It's so impressive. Congratulations. So
Thank
well
you.
Earned. So go check out her videos if you haven't already. She tries on her whole closet. It's very informative and interesting. And you have lots of good like clothing hauls and things like that. So if that's your thing,
Thanks,
go
Mitzi.
Check it out. Besides being sick, the big thing that I've been really focused on is Love is Blind.
Yes.
And the finale was last night, which was very underwhelming. Like,
you just told me it was the finale. I didn't even realize that was the finale. I thought that was like part one. And now I'm like kind of disappointed because I forgot that everyone was like breaking up. I'd lost track.
Yeah, everyone broke up. There was only, I don't know. Should we do spoilers?
Okay, I saw a thing saying how we've all done ourselves a disservice by not letting ourselves talk about things in real time anymore, because we used to all watch TV at the same time and have things to talk about, and now you go and everyone doesn't want to talk about anything.
Okay, that's such a good point and so convicting. So spoiler alert, if you have not watched it and you need to watch it in real, like go watch it, but just fast forward like 4 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. But what did you think of the finale and the couples?
This season, I really wasn't very attached to any of the couples. Like, usually I have one that I'm, like, really rooting for and that I'm, like, obsessed with. This season, I felt like one couple felt, like, pretty healthy. But otherwise, I was like, they were all obvious no's to me.
Yeah, so they were all obvious no's. Like, I felt like I was not surprised that Chelsea and Jimmy broke up. That was so toxic and so...
I thought they'd still do the wedding, though, because part of me thought they were kind of like, well, we might as well at
this
point.
I thought they would. Like, I thought it would be, like, so chaotic and such a train wreck that you'd, like, see it through.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad they didn't.
Well, that was the right call, but...
Yeah. But, oh, my gosh, that was crazy to watch. And then I was rooting for AD and Clay. They were, like, my favorite couple of the whole, like, bunch. But I'm not surprised that they didn't get married, although, I for sure thought they were both going to say I do.
He kept making comments that he like didn't know what a wedding was. So I was like, what are you doing on this show? I think he did want a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to make that clear at the end. But he was making comments like he didn't know if men got like wedding rings. And like there were so many things he didn't know that I was like, how did you get this far?
Which I think it's okay. Like if you don't know like those details, like he didn't know like wedding colors, which like most guys like don't. But I feel like he was sincere that he wanted to get married. But I think the fact that he was like, I don't think this accelerated timeline works for me. Like, I'm not ready to be a husband.
Yeah.
I think that was showed so much maturity. And it was hard to see that, like, AD's, like, done with him because...
Yeah, she took it really hard. And I felt like he did try to let her down as easy as he could. Although seeing that, like, maybe they could have broken up beforehand... Maybe that would have been the move.
Yeah, he said it was a game time decision. Like, he didn't know whether he would say yes or no until...
I guess, though, my impression of people who apply to be on this show is, like, people who, like, desperately want to be married. So it was surprising to me to see so many couples on there, like, not even know if they wanted to get married. So it felt to me like people were on it this season more than usual to get famous.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought this was such an interesting season. I was really hooked, like, all season long. Yeah. It was fun to watch. The experiment was like really like, I don't know, it highlighted so many flaws in the experiment, but like also how it's designed for entertainment and designed for conflict and designed for like, you know, so many things. So it was good TV, to be honest.
It's always good TV. Me and my boyfriend make like a tally of like all our guesses on who every single person and if they're all going to say yes or no.
Really? And did you guys?
I think he won because I think I thought... the last couple, I can't remember their names, but I thought
Johnny
one of them
and
was,
Amy?
I thought she was going to be a no.
I know. She seemed like she wasn't really attracted to him.
But I think they just didn't get enough airtime.
Yeah.
Because like they didn't really give us much with
and
them.
I think they didn't share everything around like their decisions that they made.
No.
So I'm hoping that they share more about it in the reunion.
Yeah. And then I saw from one of the past seasons, I think there's like the first Love is Blind baby.
Yes.
One of the ladies
I saw
pregnant.
That. Mm-hmm.
So that's really cute. Mm-hmm. I think a few of the couples are still married, but this season they just seemed less hungry for like being married. So
yeah.
I hope we get that energy. I also know they're starting to film, I think, some Canadian versions.
What?
There's like casting calls for like, I think a Toronto version and a Calgary version.
No.
And I was like, even saying to my boyfriend, I was like, should we go on and like meet each other?
Oh my gosh, pretend?
Just see. That'd be so funny. We need to get someone on.
I know. I really need to get someone on. Yeah. Like, I need to know someone who's in the show.
If anyone wants to reach out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, who do I know who's single and wants to be married?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. I want to see what the Canadian version will be like because I'm just so, so curious.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, okay, we're done spoilers if anyone was...
Come back.
...was waiting. So we're going to go through the sip. This is your weekly rundown of the top stories happening in social media. So first up, Facebook's going to remove the news tab and stop paying publishers for news. Meta and LG's rumored Vision Pro rival is reportedly set to launch in early 2025. I didn't know they were doing it with LG, but I guess that makes sense. Threads now gets triple the number of daily app downloads versus X on iOS. YouTube has launched a CapCut rival called Create app in 13 more markets. I actually haven't seen this app yet.
Me either.
And TikTok has launched a Trends Digest to help you create on-trend content.
I love that TikTok is doing this for us, for those of us who just like have a hard time keeping up. And I truly thought that I wasn't one of those people until I started doing a regular social meeting with our social team for ideas for content for Arcade's TikTok. And I do not know what's going on TikTok. They'll just like reference a trend so casually, and like they'll just be like, oh, let's do the fairy trend. And I'll be like, yeah, and we can do it this way and that way. And I'll be like trying to Google the fairy trend. Like, I'm just so out of touch. And it's so hard to keep up with, especially now that like sounds aren't a big driver of these trends anymore.
True.
They're just more like situational and skits and things like that. Yeah. And so I am so grateful for this Trends Digest. I have looked at it and referenced it. And I just feel like I'm a student all over again. Like, I'm just trying to keep up. So,
okay. And this might be exposing me and my TikTok knowledge. Didn't they used to have a tab that like showed you what was trending and that no longer exists?
They didn't have a tab, but they had when you picked a different song, like music, they'll give you trending songs.
I thought I used to have like a page I could go to and I would see all these like top videos and stuff. Maybe it was like even my search page or something because I can't find that anymore. I just have like my feeds, my friends, my like comments on my page or whatever. I don't know. But yeah. I swear I used to go in there and I would like look up like what videos. So I don't know where I was, but there used to be something
I
used.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I've seen that.
I don't know what I was doing on there.
Who knows? Anyways, yeah. If you need a reference for trends, you should go check out the Trend Digest.
Yeah.
For our first big story of the day, LVMH has announced the launch of 22 Montaigne Entertainment.
I think it's Montaigne Entertainment.
Montaigne. It is a central platform to connect its 75 houses with the entertainment industry. And the move, which is called a survival plan by the Business of Fashion, will help LVMH pivot as a mass media advertising loses its effectiveness. They aren't the first brand in the luxury space to get into the entertainment space. Last year, Saint Laurent announced a film production unit, and the Artemis.
And Artemis, I think.
Artemis brought a majority stake in the Hollywood talent agency CAA. But I thought this was really interesting. I think everyone's seeing the impact that entertainment and original programming can have on a brand. Like, just take, for example, Barbie, which, you know, is obviously one of the biggest entertainment pieces this year or this decade. But
yep.
I'm excited about LVMH moving more into entertainment because, I mean, it's right now, it's advertising. It's just like print ads, isn't it?
I think so.
Or like billboards and...
I feel like we're in like an entertainment resurrection right now. And I'm into it. Like with even thinking about like TikTok now wanting like more skits and things like less focused on music. I guess that was kind of a byproduct, but that wanting more long form content, I feel like entertainment's like having its moment.
Yeah. I hope that I'm like curious about what kind of programming they're going to do. Like I would love docu style programming, like a mini series on like Louis Vuitton and Pharrell and things like that. Like that would all be really interesting to me. And I'm curious if they're going to do like scripted movies, like Barbie style.
Yeah. I like to get my fashion inspo through like purely fictional shows. Like they need to do for me like an Emily in Paris, like a Nasty Gal, like something like that. Like I need there to be like a character that I'm interested in, even if they're cringy or something, that I'm following for style. I will watch a docuseries too, but like if they want to keep me long term, they need to give me, like, an icon.
Nice. I need like a fictional icon.
Yeah. Someone who I just think, even I watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I haven't seen that show.
I think they do an incredible job in that show of highlighting really amazing entertainers throughout the whole show. Like, they'll show, like, a burlesque show, but you'll see, like, the craziest thing you've ever seen. Like, so cool.
Nice.
And in the show, it's just meant to be a small scene. And then, like, the fashion is so there. So I feel like it's a show that brings all the, like, entertainment and fashion together really well through a fictional show that's not about those things necessarily.
Yeah.
So I want like that kind of energy.
I'm into it. Well, we should keep an eye out on like what kind of like writers and directors that they sign on, because that might point to like what kind of style of production we can expect.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll get. I feel like from what I was reading, it was sounding a little more serious, but I hope they go a little more playful with
it too. Me too.
It's so much potential there. Totally. So next up, still on the topic of fashion, are Skims Campaign's the new Vogue covers. So you may have seen this headline floating around. Over the past few years, we've seen increasing popularity around Skims campaigns with celebrities. This year, before the Super Bowl performance, Usher graced the cover of Vogue. We actually did an episode talking about that. There was a lot of controversy around it. People didn't really love that it wasn't just him on the cover. And then afterwards, he did an underwear campaign with Skims where he was really heavily featured. Social media users praised Skims for the campaign and loved the timely collaboration. And people are increasingly noticing a buzz that Skims campaigns are giving celebrities akin to what legacy media covers did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
This is so interesting to me because it's so amazing how relevant Skims has become and such a like how much people are paying attention to their advertising and their campaigns. It's
totally.
Like they're bringing back campaigns. They're bringing back campaign taglines. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but their tagline is like everybody's in Skims. So whether it's Usher or it's like a model, like their tagline in these like videos are everybody's in Skims. And I just think it's so nice to see. It reminds me of like the Got Milk campaigns, which were so iconic and had so many different people in it, but there was a consistency within them. So I'm really excited to see that like these campaigns that like are so intentional and thought out are coming back to the forefront and they're still being digested on like a social platform.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to me. And then the other thing, this kind of reminds me of like, I think it was last year during Paris Fashion Week, but Victoria Beckham had her show and she had Kim Kardashian was coming and she was late for the show. And so they held the show for her. Like they didn't start until she arrived.
Yeah.
And there's this video that went viral because she was like rushing to her seat and she was sitting next to Anna Wintour and Anna Wintour was like visibly annoyed. And then Anna Wintour actually left the show before it was over because she was running late to another show because the Victoria Beckham show was late. And so it just like started this debate of like who's more powerful or influential. Was it Kim Kardashian or is it Anna Wintour?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Kim Kardashian.
Well, and with Kim, it's like we get the campaign and then we get it on social. And then like months later, like we get it on the Kardashians.
Mm.
And I feel like you just get to see as someone who like, I need to feel really bought into something to really get excited about it. And with that, I feel like I get to see the whole process and it makes it really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think like Vogue isn't quite, especially American Vogue, keeping up with like what is needed or required. It's not that like fascinating. I actually saw that Coco Gauff is on the cover of the most recent Vogue. I think it's either March or April, which I love. Like Coco Gauff deserves a Vogue cover, but I didn't like the cover. Like no one's like really talking about it. Like they could have been a bit more inventive. And I get that there's like a timelessness that they want to achieve with their Vogue covers. I don't know. I just think they need like some new, fresh inspo.
Yeah. I like too with Kim, like it seems sometimes not that deep to her. She's just like, I just really like this person. I think they're cool. Like she's really into them. And I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Like, or she's like, these supermodels are iconic. And it's like, that's the reason.
Yeah, I'm like, great.
That's the brief.
It makes it easy, I think, to buy into. And then the products usually are like a cool fit with what the person's doing for the campaign. So I've been liking them. I've been getting excited for them. Like I find when a new Skims campaign comes out, I'm paying attention.
Absolutely. So am I. I love it. Okay. Last and final story is Freaky Friday back? The answer is yes, it is. Released in 2003. Okay. Freaky Friday, originally released in 2003, stars Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis as the daughter-mother combo who switch bodies. Fans will be happy to know that the two are coming back for a sequel over 20 years later. Details of what exactly the sequel will look like are unclear, although I have some theories and suggestions. But the sequel fits into the wave of nostalgia that we've been seeing in pop culture these days. And between former child and teen stars reliving their popular TV shows on replay podcasts and fashion trends reemerging, it's a nostalgia trend that isn't slowing down anytime soon. And we are here for it. So I'm so excited about this sequel. I feel like fans have been asking for it for years. But given that it's 20 years since the original,
I really hope, it was only 10.
I really hope this sequel doesn't reinvent the wheel in terms of the plot. I hope that the plot stays the same. And I hope that Lindsay is the mom and her daughter and hers switch bodies. And then Jamie Lee Curtis is the grandma who's like helping them get through the chaos of this like moment. And I think that would be like brilliant and perfect. And I just can't wait to see who else is in it.
I'm excited for that. I also know with the original, the music was such a huge part of it. Like, I feel like that's what made it so iconic, was this kind of like punk music throughout, Sign of the Times kind of music. What do you think they'd have for this soundtrack?
I have no clue. Whatever Gen Z likes.
Yeah, I'm like, what will be like the iconic songs in
this?
This
needs to be Gen Z's Freaky Friday. So, I mean, the pressure is on and I have no idea what that is. Like, I feel like the music I listen to is just like so dated. So I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm so curious. Between this and then the recent like rom-com, like Anyone But You, I just feel like we're bringing back that kind of energy with movies. We're trying to.
We're trying. Did you see Anyone But You?
I did.
Did you like it?
It was okay.
I didn't like it.
It had,
I know,
like a couple good lines, but I was like, it's not iconic to me.
No, and it's so popular and everyone loved it. But it just didn't hit right for me. Like, I know it was it's trying to be like the rom-coms of the early 2000s, which I'm all for.
Yeah.
And I know like those rom-coms are predictable and whatever, but like it just didn't give me like, I don't know, it didn't hit it for me.
Do you think though that if you were like a teenager right now and you saw that movie and you had no reference point, because there haven't been a lot of like rom-coms, I feel like, that have come out, do you think you'd love it? Like, that's more what I'm thinking.
I don't know. Yeah, like maybe. But I honestly, it was just, I just didn't love the acting.
No.
Can I say that?
They tried.
Like, I really like Sydney Sweeney, but like I just felt like she wasn't expressive enough.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was giving flat effect.
I know. Like,
but I do feel like I like that they're like trying to bring back this type of movie. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go back and watch like, yeah, something like a Freaky Friday or like an old rom-com, and I'm like, how come we can't bring this energy anymore?
Yeah, I also saw there's a new trailer out for this movie. I can't remember the name of it, but with Anne Hathaway. Mm. And it's a remake of this book, which is really popular, and I'm excited for that because it's still like very rom-com vibes, but not so cheesy. And it's a predictable story. It's like an older woman falls in love with like this hot, young, little like Coachella rock star. And all the like the trials and tribulations that come with that. And so I just think like, you know, it's predictable. You know it's going to happen and that's fine. But I think the way that they're filming it looks really interesting. So
yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to like the editing and the filming.
Just like
this, fun.
Yeah, the style of it. But
oh, it's called The Idea of You.
The Idea of You. Yes, that one. I'm excited to watch that one.
Nice. I'm forever a horror movies girl. So my list
we have
is a little
very
different.
Very different tastes.
But
in
I
movies.
Tried with Anyone But You. I did try, and I will watch, I think, this remake. I just hope it's good because I do feel like people who didn't see the original or like weren't alive when that came out, I don't want them to like see this and have that feel so cringe. You know, I hope they can do it justice.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm so glad they have the original cast. Like, Lindsay and Jamie Lee Curtis are going to nail it. Jamie Lee Curtis is, like, everything she touches is just so good, especially right now. So I have a lot of excitement for this. And then I'm so for Lindsay Lohan being back in movies. Like, go get it, girl. And I just hope, I think it'll be good.
Okay. Well, we'll let you know what we think when it does come out. But now that we've wet your palate, go eat something more substantial. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.